I'm going to try to get right down here with you. This will be on tape, but it's not going to be available to just every person. For the reason being, I'll be saying some things that if you didn't know me, it'd blow you away. And so I'm a little concerned about that. But we'll be all right. But we'll get started. And like I said, every night I want to try to get every Tuesday night for the next couple of weeks. I don't know just how long we'll do this until I feel like we've accomplished what the Lord wants us to do. We'll do it for every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. And we'll start right at 7. So right now I'm 5 minutes late. But Brother Temples, will you ask the Lord to bless this meeting and this study?
Lord, we're so glad we know you as a great, big, omnipotent, prayer answering God, one who cares and understands. Thank you, Lord, for the benefits and privilege of Calvary. We ask you, Lord, to open our minds now that the Word is our pastor and teacher, opens the Word to us and help us plaster our hearts and lives. We might be better Christians, but be better followers of thee. We ask you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So be it. Okay. This is going to be very much of a school, and when I say that, how many went to school? In school, what did everybody hate the most? You will be tested. Now, let me soften that. I won't even look at it. I'll just ask you questions, and you write them down. You answer them. You'll be the only one that sees it. It's just to show you where you're at. And there will be assignments. I'll give you an assignment tonight for next week. And the reason for that is just so that you'll see the level in which you started, what you know, compared to what we end up with. And that's what it's all about. With all you're getting, get understanding. And so that's what we're after. We're trying to get some understanding about the spiritual truths in the Bible. Next week, while I'm thinking about it right now, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And what I want you to do between now and next week is take 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8, 9, and 10, and those 9 spiritual gifts that are in there, I want you to define them. And I don't want you to use anybody's writings, any books. I just want you to write down what you know right now. In other words, if I was to walk up and ask Linda right now, Linda, define discerning of spirits for me. The answer that you would give me is what I want you to write down. The reason that I want you to do this, I'm not going to see it. You're going to keep it. But I want you to have it as a reference point and see what you've learned, what understanding that we've accomplished in this time of study. Is that okay? All right. So take those 9 spiritual senses and take them and define them. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8, 9, and 10. You'll need to take some notes. I'll probably be preparing you some things. But after a couple of weeks of study on this, I'll quiz you. And there again, it's not for me, it's for you. Just ask some questions and you answer them. And then we'll go back over the questions and we'll see where your minds are. So you need to take some notes. It's another aspect of getting it into the mind. Anyway, just seeing it and hearing it is one thing. But when you write it, it's special. So that's what we're looking at. We want to look at this as a school, as a learning process in which the Lord's led us into. And so let's make sure that we're scriptural. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 10. I've made me a few notes. I'm not going to go by them. I'm just going to kind of skip around. Try to go with the flow and let the Spirit kind of direct what we do here. 1 Samuel chapter 10. And in verse 5 of 1 Samuel chapter 10, Samuel speaking to Saul says, "After that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass when thou art come thither to the city, thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high places with a psaltery and a tablet and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them," and then look at it, "and shalt be turned into another man." There is something about the spiritual utterances of prophecy that lets you know you have been turned into another man. And this is going to be my primary purpose. If I can get this one thought across to you, you are not natural. You are supernatural. You're not a natural man. You're not a natural woman anymore. You're supernatural. There is a person dwelling in you, and he's made you another man. And if I can get that one thought across to us today, if I can get us to see that one thought, then I'll accomplish what I'm set forth to do. Now look at verse 9. "And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him. And the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them." Now, I want you to go over to 1 Samuel chapter 19. Verse 20. 1 Samuel 19 and 20. "And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again, and the third time, and they prophesied also. And went he also to Ramah, and came a great well." And that's, you'll read there that even Saul prophesied. But this company of prophets that we're looking at here is the school of the prophets that Samuel was over. Do you see back there in verse 20 again where it says the company of prophets prophesying and Samuel standing appointed over them? This was the school of the prophets. Now, what would you learn to do in a school of the prophets? You'd learn to prophesy. Again, as I've talked to us before, how do we learn what is spiritual? How do we act spiritual? Talk to me. You can talk. According to the Bible, that's the way it should be. But how so many times have we done it?
By example.
By example. We see somebody that is supposed to be spiritual, so we do what they did. And that's not always right. If the gifts do not flow in the proper way, it will turn people away rather than drawing them in. I gave you the example this past Sunday. The nine gifts, if you liken them to the five natural senses of the natural body, the nine gifts are the nine senses of the spiritual body. And if an individual in the natural realm, if his 5 natural senses are not active, he's a vegetable. He cannot contact the world around him. He can't see it. He can't smell it. He can't taste it. He can't touch it. He can't hear it. He's a vegetable. Now, he might be laying there, but he's a vegetable. So is it with the church. With the 9 spiritual gifts. If a church does not operate in these 9 spiritual gifts, it can still be called a church. But for all practical purposes, it's a vegetable church. It cannot contact the spiritual world. It can't touch it. It can't taste it. It can't see it. It can't hear it. Not in the spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I need to go over this just a little bit. First Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. Now, before I read it, who remembers what italics means? When you read italics in the Word, what does that mean? It was put in there. It was not in the original. It was put in there for your clarification. So, when we read verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we read there in verse 1 that verse 1 is really not talking about gifts, but it's talking about spiritual brethren, our spiritual people. So let's read it first the way that it's written. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren. Now gifts is in italics, so that means that it's really not in the original. Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I don't want you dumb about spiritual things. Now let's read it the way that it's written without gifts. Now concerning spiritual brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Concerning spirituality. Concerning spiritual people. Concerning spiritual ministry. I would not have you ignorant. And that's the way I want to look at that. Concerning spiritual ministry. I would not have you ignorant. Gifts is not in the original. You got to see that before we can go any further. Because all that what Paul's writing here in the 12th chapter is concerning spirituality. What is spiritual and what is not? He's fixing to tell us. This is not just concerning gifts. And we got to get out of this framework, this network that we've got woven into us, gifts. In the Pentecostal realm, we think of it as this so-and-so has this gift. I want to get beyond a Pentecostal mentality. I want to get beyond that. I really want to get into the depth of the Word. I cannot see for the life of me in the Word of God how this individual can have this one gift. Colossians chapter 1. Let's get verse 26 and 27. 27 is what I want. But we'll get verse 26. Colossians 1, 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest in his saints. And we're talking about a mystery. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. We have got to get out of the mentality of Jesus out yonder somewhere. We sang the song in here Sunday, the new chorus, Lord, make me a sanctuary. Make me the place that you dwell. Christ in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's the only hope of glory we got. Now, when he came into you, did he leave out his mind? Then the scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So when he came in, he brought his mind. Is that right? When he come in then, did he leave out his power to heal? Did he leave out his power to discern spirits? Did he leave out his faith? Did he leave out his prophecies? Did he leave out his working of miracles and his healings? All that Christ is and all that Christ does dwells where? In me. Now, yes, there is the flesh and bone man sitting in the heavenlies. Yes, there is. But his primary purpose is to duplicate himself, multiply himself over and over and over again in us. Numbers chapter 11. Back up some. Book of Numbers, chapter 11. We know that the Old Testament was given to us as a type. And Paul said that he didn't preach anything that wasn't found in the law and in the prophets. So is it okay if I preach what's found in the law and what's found in the prophets? Now, Moses is a type of Christ. Moses in the Old Testament did what Jesus did in the New Testament. Who is the Savior deliverer in the New Testament? Not trick. Easy. Who is the Savior? Jesus Christ. All right. Who then delivered and saved the people out of Egypt in the Old Testament? Moses. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it leads you all through it. He says they were all baptized unto Moses. They were all led through the sea. They were all baptized into the cloud. They all ate of the same spiritual rock and all the same spiritual food and drank of the same spiritual rock. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 through 4. And it's the type of Christ. We are baptized into Christ. We eat of the same spiritual food, the manna, the word, the body. We all drink of the same spiritual drink, the spirit. So Moses becomes a type of Jesus. Our heavenly Moses is Jesus. Now, what God did with Moses, we've looked over it. God took the spirit of Moses and multiplied it. God took Moses' spirit and gave it to 70 elders. And what the purpose of Jesus in the New Testament is to take his spirit and multiply it in us over and over and over and over again to do what he did, to be conformed unto the very image of the Son. That's the purpose of God. Now let's read here in Numbers chapter 11, verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. What is the cry of every pastor, or what should the cry be of every pastor? I want some burden bearers. Help me carry this thing. Don't make me do all of the spiritual ministry by myself. Help me. Now that's what they were given to Moses for, was to help him. Drop down to verse 24 because you're getting in a bunch of other stuff there that's irrelevant at this time. Verse 24. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders, And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Now, it also fell on some other fellows in the camp, and I want you to see what Moses' attitude was. Drop down to verse 28. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, "My Lord Moses, forbid them," because there was guys in the congregation prophesying. And verse 29, and Moses said unto him, "Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them." Would to God. What do you hear me crying? Prophesy for me. And so what I'm doing is what Moses did. Some of the Spirit that is upon me, the gift, the sense, whatever, however you want to look at it, to prophesy, I want to take it, and I want God to take it and put it on you too. Which leads me to my second purpose for this. By the time this is over, I want you to be able to prophesy in the church services. I want you to be able to give words of prophetic utterance, whether they come in tongues, interpretations, or prophecies. I want you to see that it is the Lord's will, it is God's will that you do this. Now, if you've got a legalistic, old Pentecostal frame of mind, that just blew you away. But the Lord's will is that we all prophesy. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians and see that. Now, I don't want to lose my thought now that he wants to multiply the Spirit of Jesus in you. But let's get this thought while I'm here too. I knew I'd do this. I knew I'd just be running all over. 1 Corinthians 14 is what I want. 1 Corinthians 14 and 1. Follow after love and desire spirituality. Did I read that right? Did I read that right? Remember now, if it's in italics, it's not in the original. What Paul is saying here is follow after love and desire to be spiritual, but rather that you may prophesy. Verse 5. I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that spake with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Let me give you this principle right now. Tongues plus interpretation equals prophecy. Do you see that in that verse? Let's get it again. Verse 5. I would that you, some of you, all, spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret. Am I right? Does tongues and interpretation accept equal prophecy? Okay. Just wanted to get that while we were on it. Verse 24. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all. He is judged of all. How many prophesy? All. Verse 31. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. What's the primary word in that verse? All. And then verse 39. Wherefore, brethren, covet, lust after to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Five times in one chapter, he asked you to prophesy. Would you think that that would be God's will concerning you in Christ Jesus? Okay. I want you to start thinking in those realms. Now, let me finish my thought on God wants to multiply His Spirit. Go to St. John chapter 7. Verse 37, 38 and 39. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. Now, as Jesus said this, how was he saying it? That's what I want you to get out of verse 37. Was he being emotional? That's a good word. He's being emotional here. He cried it saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, over to chapter 14, and I'll tie them together. He's speaking of the Spirit. And he says that out of your bellies, out of your innermost being, shall flow rivers of life, rivers of living water. Ezekiel saw a river, Ezekiel 47, and Ezekiel said that everywhere that that river went, it brought life. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of life, rivers of living water. And in Ephesians chapter 5, it says that we are washed by what? Anybody know? By the Word. We're washed by the Word. Water is the Word. Out of your belly shall flow a living Word, living water. The Word is life. Now, to most Christians, particularly Pentecostal, the Holy Ghost, have you ever been to one of those meetings? The Holy Ghost is here. In most frames of mind, he is still some abstract thing. Am I right? Is he a thing, an it, or a person? He is not a thing. He is not an it. He is a person. And what he really is, I'm fixing to give you a definition for him. What he really is the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son, and they come to dwell in your sanctuary. If you want a definition of what the Holy Spirit is, here it is, verse 23, St. John 14. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we, who's it talking about? The Father and the Son, we will come unto him and make our abode, mansion, with him. It's the same word used in verse 2 for mansion. You become the mansion of the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of their Son, making their abode, their dwelling place in you. And then from out of your belly shall flow the rivers of living water. Rivers of life. And everywhere that you go, everywhere that you go, you bring life. Everywhere that you flow, words that you speak life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Words in you, the hope of glory. Now, I didn't do it when I was in that verse, but in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, where it says Christ in you. Who remembers what the word Christ means? The anointed. There is an anointing in you. There's an anointing in you to let out these gifts of the Spirit. These senses of the church. These senses of the body of Christ. We've got to get out of the mentality that it's out here. It's a gift coming in. No, it's a gift coming out. He's in here. And what we've got to learn is to let Him go. Let Him flow. Out of your belly shall flow. Where's Christ? In you. That's what I'm really wanting you to begin to see. That spiritual ministry first begins in you. Flows out of you. Now, let's turn to Luke. Luke 17. Yes. Luke 17 and verse 20. Now, the kingdom of God is something that will happen one day, right? To the majority of the Christian world, the kingdom of God is something that will happen one day. And in part, that is true. The fulfillment of it will take place one day. But it is happening in you right now. And if you can begin to see yourself as a world, as an earth, Paul says, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. Jesus teaching them how to pray. Says that your will may be done in earth, not on, in earth as in heaven. The Pharisees come to Jesus, the legalist. Come to Jesus and they demanded him to tell them, when will the kingdom of God come? Verse 20, Luke 17. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Not with your five natural senses. It's not coming so that you can touch it, or see it, or hear it, or smell it, or taste it. It's not coming with your natural observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Where does it begin? Within you. Before we can ever manifest it to this city, we first have to manifest it in our own life. Before you'll ever be given the riches of the Gentiles, you're going to have to be able to manage your own finance. Before you can ever rule and reign with Jesus, you better learn how to take care of your household. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Children, obey your parents. Before the kingdom of God can ever be manifested in that realm, it has to be manifested in this realm. Before we'll ever be permitted to rule and reign with Jesus, the Bible clearly says over and over and over seven times in the book of Revelations in the first three chapters, it's Him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne as I overcame and sit with my Father even in His throne. Now, how do we do that? How do we become overcomers? It's a combination of realizing that the kingdom of God is within you, but also that there's a Christ in you. There's an anointed one in you. And the throne in your life, either your carnal mind sets on it, the devil sets on it, or Christ sets on it. Three spirits in the earth. Spirit of man, spirit of Christ, spirit of the devil. One of those three spirits sits on the throne in your kingdom. And as the Christ manifests himself, there's Jesus Christ, Lord. Jesus the man, the flesh bone man sitting at the right hand of the Father in the heavenlies. Christ, the anointed one. That's who's in you. When you're born again, when you become spirit, when you're born again, that's what's happened. You're translated from one kingdom into another, from a natural kingdom into a spiritual kingdom. Christ, that's the anointed, that's in you. But it's when he becomes Lord of the kingdoms in your world. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, Jesus Christ, Lord. Common salvation, great salvation, eternal salvation. And that's taking me someplace I don't want to go. But what I'm getting at is that all of this dwells in you. And the principle now is to bring it out. And you will manifest the kingdom of God by manifesting the senses that God's placed in that Christ in you. All that he is, all that he does, all that he says is where? Christ is where? In you. Then all that he says, all that he does, all that he is where? In you. You are not natural. You are supernatural. Two scriptures real quick to John chapter 3. How many is born again? Raise your hand if you're born again. Okay. Then you are no longer natural. Jesus talking to Nicodemus in the third chapter of St. John. Look at verse 6. What is born of flesh is what? Flesh. And what is born of the Spirit is what? What are you? Flesh or spirit? Okay. Turn over to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. When dogs fall in love, they reproduce. What do they have? Dogs. And cats. They have cats. Elephants, elephants. Hippos, hippos. Now, the principal fact of Genesis chapter 1 is not necessarily creation, although that's 30-fold. The principal fact of Genesis chapter 1 is that the seed is within itself and everything produces after its kind. Right? When people fall in love, what do they produce?
People.
Now, look at verse 9, Hebrews 12. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, but we gave them reverence, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Who is your father? God. Kind after kind. Seed within itself. You're born again. You're no longer a spirit, no longer a natural flesh. You are a spirit. Who's your father? God. Is God supernatural? Are you supernatural? And if we can get it into our heads that this is what the Lord has been wanting to manifest through his church all the time, a supernatural people, that wherever they flowed, they bring life. They bring light. That within you dwell all that he is, all that he does, all that he says. Within you are the very riches of Christ, the very riches of glory. And we bottle it up. Okay. I'm going to write some things on this thing. I really am, besides that. Just go to 1 Corinthians one more time. I think I'm fixing to stop. Is this tape clicked? 1 Corinthians 12. I want you to see, before we go any further, I know I've showed most of you this, but we need to get it right now for those who haven't heard it. Who set the ministry and the gifts into the church? Who set them there? Who? God. That's not complicated, folks. God did that. God did it. Man didn't determine that one day we'll have these nine spiritual gifts, or we'll have apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Man didn't decide that one day. God set them in the church. Now, what man has done is take them out. We have undone what God's done. We have dug into the foundation of the church, which are apostles and prophets, and removed them, and that's why the church is crumbling and is so weak today. You do not see manifested in the earth today the church that you see manifested in the book of Acts. Do you?
No.
Are we a New Testament church?
Yes.
Okay. Do we do what they did in Acts? We're working on it. That's good. That's good. Okay. Look at verse 28. And God hath set some in the church. First apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, and then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Who put them there? What has man tried to do? Take them out. And for the majority, he has accomplished that purpose. Man has removed the spirituality of the church. You tell me the truth. Is there a vast difference between most Christians and the world?
No.
No. No. I'm all right. Do whatever I want to do. I'm okay. The things that make us spiritual are these gifts. The things that you can determine spiritual brethren by are these gifts. Now, I got to throw in here what I said Sunday, but I'll do it because I need to do it, and I'll take just a few minutes longer. You won't know them by their abilities to talk in tongues and prophesy and work miracles. You'll know them, Jesus said, by their fruits. All right? We're talking gifts here. We're not talking fruits. But like I told you, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is one piece of bread. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is another piece of bread. And what's in the middle of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14? Love. Right? 13. What is love? Fruit. That's the goodie. Okay? How do you judge a sandwich? By the piece of bread on the right or the piece of bread on the left or the goodie in the middle. And that's what we've got here. And that's what we're going to be looking at. And Paul says that so plainly. He says you can do all of these things. Have tongues as of angels. But if you don't have love, if you don't have the fruit, if you don't have the goodie, you're nothing but a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. You're just making a bunch of noise for nothing. And I can have in this church, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I can have the gifts. I can have us prophesying and boy, just having a big time. But if I ain't got 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm punching my shadow. I'm accomplishing nothing. As one songwriter said, you're spitting in the wind. Am I right?
Right.
Okay. Now, spiritual ministry. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, tells us about spiritual ministry. He says, concerning spiritual brethren, or spiritual ministry, I wouldn't have you dumb. I wouldn't have you ignorant. I want you to understand. And then he goes into it. And I would not have you dumb. I want you to understand it. And I want the Spirit of Jesus multiplied in your life. Christ is in you. Is that right? I've covered most of this. How about that? Christ is in you. All the gifts are in you. Now, say that there's an individual who is sick. You who are accustomed to praying for the sick, if you went to someone's house or even here in the church, let's say, and they are sick and they hadn't come down, say, specifically for prayer, the first question that we'll ask is, should I pray? Should you? Should I? And then we'll say, well, then can I? Do I have the ability to? Let's go to Mark 16. I know we're looking at a lot of scripture, but that's what it's all about. Verse 15, Mark 16. Is verse 15 in red? Who's talking? Jesus. And he said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. How can you tell, according to the very words of Jesus here, in verse 16 and 17, who the believers are?
Well, that's not going to tell you that.
And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, how do you tell those that believe? Signs following. And everywhere that Paul went, there were signs following. And he says, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man. I came to you with powers and demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. And he says that everywhere that I went, there was wonders and signs done by my ministry. Signs following. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. How do you know believers? Okay. According to that, then we're back here with this sick person. Should you pray for them, according to Mark 16? Can you pray for them? And I want to add one more. Should I? Can I? I must. Why? Because these signs shall follow them that believe. Is that heavy?
It's good.
Now, George made mention that because this manifests not itself in the majority of the church world today, then we have looked back and we found some manuscripts where this wasn't in. And so then we say that this is not in the original manuscripts, but it was, because we found manuscripts older than those that it was in. And there are more manuscripts with it in them than where it's not in. And it totally lines up with the rest of the Word of God. Totally. These signs shall follow. Spiritual ministry then begins with, should I? Can I? I must. Does it line up with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1? These are the ways that Paul says you will know the spiritual brethren, spiritual ministry. Did he? Okay. So then spiritual ministry begins with, I should, I can, and I must. Now, while I'm right here on this, many of you now, I'm stirring, I'm causing you to stir that gift that's within you. Right? Now, if that gift is within you, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, stir up, fan it. Fan that coal, fan that hot thing in you. Get it going again, Timothy. If you have the gift, a gift, if you have the Christ in you, the hope of glory in you, and you're beginning to see this stuff now, and let's take away the thought of sick, and let's add interpretations, or let's add prophecy, or let's add the word of wisdom, or let's add the word of knowledge. Should you manifest it? Can you manifest it? Here is where we are. We are here. This is where we're going. Pentecostal realms have been satisfied with this. I can and I should. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold says, I must. For our church, for our assembly, to become the body of Christ in its fullness, the nature and the stature and the fullness of Christ. How full is full?
Full.
Full. Then, if I have Christ in me, and that is the fullness of Christ in me, and all that He is, all that He says, all that He does is dwelling within me, then I have the senses of the body of Christ. And as we come together and every joint brings in its supply, every joint fits together, and you have one of these manifestations, you have one of these exhibition gifts, one of these things that we're speaking of now, we're talking about now, you know that you should, you know that you can, now it's up to you to do the must. We cannot exhibit the body of Christ to people unless we begin to exhibit His senses, His self, His being, His nature, His stature, His fullness. Ephesians 4. These become the tools of constructing and building, which is what the word edify means. It means an edifice. It means a structure. These become the tools of the carpenter, the tools of the apostle and the prophet and the evangelist and the pastor and the teacher. That's what they become. To construct, to build, to edify the body of Christ into the nature and the stature and the fullness of Christ. And if it's a fullness of it, it's doing all that He said, it's doing all that He did, and it's knowing all that He knew. And let's read it. Verses 11, and let's just read on down. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building, the constructing of the body of Christ. Till... how long are we going to have these apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Now that's a long time, but we're getting there. Unto what? a perfect man, when that which is perfect is come. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 10. When that which is perfect is come, then tongues shall cease. Then prophecy shall cease. When? When that which is perfect is come. When the perfect man is formed. Unto the measure. How full we got to be? Unto the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ. How full is full? Then, if I say that's full is full, then I've got to say, if we are the body of Christ, if we are the body of the anointed, and we're full of Him, and we're all the way to His nature, and we're all the way to His stature, we've come to the total knowledge of Him. Okay? Then I've got to be able to say all that He said. I've got to be able to know all that He knew. And I've got to be able to do all that He did. So we have speaking or saying gifts. We have knowing gifts. And then we have doing gifts. 30, 60, 100 fold. Saying gifts. Tongues. Prophecies. Interpretation of tongues. Knowing gifts. Word of knowledge. Word of wisdom. Discerning of spirits. 30, 60. Now the 100 fold. Healings, miracles, faith. How else can the body of Christ be constructed and come to this nature and to this stature and to this fullness? The body of Christ at best, at absolute best today, is laying there paralyzed. Few of these senses are functioning today in the body of Christ. Why? Because every joint's not supplying its part. Let's go on down. Verse 14 tells us why we got to come to this nature and this stature, that we henceforth be not no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with what? Every wind of what? Doctrine. How many doctrines we got in Lafayette? How many denominations? And you'll find out. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to what? Deceive. What's the principal purpose of a demon? To deceive. Now verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up unto Him in all things. How many things?
All
things. All that He knew. All that He said. All that He did. Which is the head, even Christ. If you're wondering about who it's talking about. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Are you an organ in this assembly? Are you an organ in this body? Then should you supply something? Stir it up. By every joint supplieth according to the effectual working of the measure of every part. Every one of us has got a part to play. Every one of us is an organ in this body. If we as an organism, as an individual organism, if enough of us fails to function, what will happen in your physical body if enough of your organs fail to function? What will happen in any church, any body, if enough of the organs fail to function? All right, it's paralyzed now. It's laying there. It can't see, it can't smell, it can't taste, it can't touch, it can't reach into that spiritual world. It can't protect itself from the forces of that spiritual world. To the measure of every part, make an increase of the body. And to the edifying, building of itself in love. I'll quit there tonight. But the purposes of the Holy Spirit is to bring you into spiritual ministry. Now what that simply means is the manifestation, the exhibition of the Christ in you. The Holy Spirit's purpose is to bring that out so that where you flow, you bring life. You bring edification. You build the body of Christ. That's what it's all about. We are the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 27, this is a good one to close with. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. All of these gifts, senses that we're looking at are part of the body of Christ. And they're you. And they're me. What have we covered tonight? Is it God's will that you prophesy?
Yes.
Where is Christ?
Yes.
Where is the kingdom?
Yes.
How will you manifest Christ or the kingdom? By allowing the Holy Spirit to bring that spiritual ministry out of you. By the living water coming out of your life. Is the Holy Spirit some abstract thing? How can you tell believers from unbelievers? Signs follow. This has been good. Covered a lot of ground. Real quickly. Any questions? Any thoughts? Okay. None that she wants to talk about just yet. Okay.
I love the explanation of 1 Corinthians 13:10 because
that's what was
explained, that that's why there's no gifts today.
No, which is perfect. It's one of the questions that I'll answer in the Sunday morning services. Growing up. Growing up. Same thing that that Ephesians 4 talks about. Growing the body. Same word. Perfect. Teleos. Did you learn anything? Did you make a lot of notes? Okay, next week I need 9 definitions of those senses. Now they're just for you. I'm not going to look at them. I wouldn't embarrass you for the world, so don't think that I ever would. But it's for you to see where you're at and how we progress through this thing.
Okay. You want a list
with an definition. I mean, you can go through there and get the list. I just want you to put out there what they are to you right now. Because we're going to cover each one of them and look at them more in depth. But the main thing that I want you to see through all of this is that you're no longer natural, you're no longer flesh, you're spirit. And your Father is God, and He's a spirit, and He's supernatural, so therefore you're supernatural. And that wherever your life flows, if you allow that living water, that river's in you, come forth, particularly when you come into here and the body comes together, it should flow. You know, somebody's already told me that Sunday night they felt that they needed to flow in the gifts. And I felt like there were several that needed to flow in the gifts at that point, I think you remember what I'm talking about when I said that now. Okay? But we bottle him up, we put the cork in, you know, and we stop it, and we don't allow it to flow. Had that happened, I know that there would have been no more word ministry. We would have been just body ministry. We would have begun to minister to the body of Christ, edify each one, lift up, build up each one. Amen.
So many of the people, from me, from one, is so afraid that it will be self.
The flesh. That's what you think. That's one reason that I've already keyed on it. You are not flesh any longer. Okay? And as we go through this, one of my main primary purposes that I've already told you on Sunday mornings is to get us some guidelines. Let's see what the scriptures say. Let's line this thing up. And if you're in those guidelines, then it's not you. See?
Regardless of what's
it. That's right. Now, you'll see that it's for edification as long as it's building the body of Christ and edifying it. Now, if you have a word that's contrary to that, that's negative, that tears down somebody. You see, that's not building. So that's one of the primary rules of the manifestations of the gifts. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge. The Lord may reveal something to you concerning somebody, but He'll also give you wisdom as to how to handle it so that it won't tear down but build up. Healings, of course, miracles. And I've laid hands on people, they've been healed. I've laid hands on people, they weren't healed. Both, but there's reasons, however you look at it, either way. I've seen miracles in my ministry. Just instant things. There's the faith and the biggies that we talk about. But Paul specifically emphasizes, and so does so much of the Old Testament, emphasize the prophecy aspect. And the reason that it emphasizes the prophecy aspect is because it's so edifying. It lets you know where we are right now in God's timetable. What were the prophets of old? What did they prophesied about the timetable of God? And we can do that right now. We see right where God's at by the word of prophecy. And it's so uplifting. Was you going to say something, Brother Temple?
No. Something that you've been beating around all the time. I've known all the years, but I still haven't been able to put it in the words as well as you have. So now, this little flesh here is not going to glory. The spiritual self is always going to be in God's presence. I mean, this little flesh going back to death.
All right. Now, when you're saying the flesh, what you're really saying is the carnalities of ourself. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I think that we get our thoughts confused that the flesh is this, and it is. This is flesh, but when the scripture speaks of flesh, it's talking about our carnal minds. All right. That will be burned up. Okay.
And so behooves all of us to be the spiritual folks you're talking about.
Right. That's right. Very good. Very good. Very good. And we've all done it. We all know the gifts that are within us. And we do just like Timothy did. We let them lie dormant. And God wants us to stir them up. It's time. It's time. Would you stand? Gone 15 minutes longer than I want to. I really am trying to hold this to an hour because I want you to keep coming, because this is the only way that we'll get a liberty to flow in this. So I'm trying. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for your word. And Lord, I pray right now, Lord, a spiritual impartation. Lord, that thy spirit shall be multiplied upon every individual in this room, and that your desire in their life, that the manifestations of the gifts, the spiritual senses in their life shall come to be. And we will be the spiritual people that you desire for us. Lord, that we can edify, build up, begin to construct right now that spiritual body that this city needs to see. The world has not yet seen the body of Christ in its glory. Lord, we begin it right now. Lord, we begin it right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we're laying the foundation right now with the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers. We're laying the foundation to build upon your word. Your word will exalt itself over everything. We'll construct it according to the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, so be it. Amen.